and welcome to the Listening at Warwick podcast, examining blended learning throughout the coronavirus pandemic. I am Charlie, a third-year biological science student.
I'm Georgia, a postgraduate film studies student.
And I am Grace, a second-year politics, philosophy and law student. And we're really excited to have you here. Hope you enjoy.
This episode is a part two of my conversation with Bola and Katie. So if you haven't listened to the previous episode, it might be worth just giving a listen so you have the context. But in this episode, they go a bit more in depth into some of the disadvantages of online learning, and they also discuss some of the more social aspects that impact university students, and they continue to be incredibly charming and nice to talk to, which is always good. So I hope you enjoy this episode as well. Yeah, I mean, I think that everyone can really agree that there's a lot of sort of practicalities of sort of the experience of online learning that on paper, or even sometimes in reality, like with the traveling, I've done the Warwick commute. It's not ideal by any means. There are benefits, but as you've been bringing up, there are a lot of sort of disadvantages.
I think the concept that you have of what you're doing is quite difficult to sort of define. I mean, in my head, to go back to sort of, you know, people not necessarily joining in so much, in my head, it's almost like I'm in a class of about 20 people. I feel like I've met 20 people. I feel like, you know, I've heard opinions from about 20 people, but we're actually in a class of what, 50 people. But in terms of like your ability to recognize what situation you're actually in. I think all the time I felt like I'm very much at Warwick. Like I haven't known where I'm studying or anything like that. But, you know, that question, I mean, it's come up in the end of term feedback, I think, that, you know, how much do you feel connected to the wider Warwick community? Well, how could you feel connected to the wider Warwick community, especially if you don't live on campus, which a lot of people do, but it's a... Yeah, it's sort of odd if you're just in your living room or in your bedroom and you just log on and it's like, what am I part of? What am I doing? Especially, I think there were times maybe in the winter when the weather was terrible and, you know, term two lectures were more difficult than term one lectures. And you can log on to Moodle, watch a video, feel like you didn't understand anything, have to watch it again and then watch it again. And at what point does that really feel like going to a lecture? I mean, you know, there's that sort of in your brain, it's just sort of like, what's going on? I think it just is a bit of a strange experience. And then you join teams and talk to someone you haven't spoken to all year, and it's supposed to be like talking to a classmate, but it doesn't really feel like talking to a classmate. I don't know. I think there's just a lot to it that you are not used to. Well, what do you think were the downsides this year?
Like, speaking of what is this all for, you just like reminded me of something. Like, we're taking this experience because we're supposed to becoming qualified like teachers studying about teaching, and I reckon that in the future we might be doing more in-person classes than online classes. So we talked about the fact that in online classes there's so many techniques that teachers can use, like the chat box and the raising your hand and other techniques, breakout rooms, for example. But we're taking the course mainly because before the pandemic, the idea that we had in mind that we're going to be teaching in-person classes. So we wanted to see more of those in-person classes and how teachers normally run such classes, what techniques they can do. So now I wonder what are the features that work in parallel with the chat box or the breakout room or the raise a hand thing. So we wanted to see more of those in person, because I understand that the main point behind this MAT soul is to become a teacher in the future, and I believe that I'll be giving more in-person classes than online classes. So this is one point. A second point, from a perspective of one of our lecturers said that, for example, when they prepare for the input offline that they want to upload for one of the platforms, they can't tell whether students at this point are struggling, got the point, not really, they need further explanation or not. So when they upload just the content and we watch it online, they can't really get that immediate impression from the students. So in an in-person class, for example, the teacher can be explaining the content immediately, and right from looking at students' eyes can tell if you have a problem or not. But in an online class, if most of the students, they have their, let's say, my cameras off, then if somebody is giving a facial expression that they didn't get a certain point, the lecturers can't really get that and can't eventually explain further on that. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think this sense of sort of interconnectedness is a really overlooked aspect of the online learning experience. As I'm a master's student as well, but I think, I don't know, it's less expected of us to have sort of this big social life as it is for undergraduate students. And I felt, I've spent a lot of this year feeling really bad for the undergraduates and being like, oh, they don't get this fun university experience. But we have also spent this last year kind of devoid of people to talk to. And I really feel for people as well who have had to stay at home. Yeah, no, but if you have any thoughts on sort of this, the more social aspects of, I guess, the things we're missing out on, that'd be really interesting to hear.
Regarding the social aspect, for example, I think it's easier to initiate a conversation with a colleague in an in-person class. So you could immediately just turn your head and say hi, and then you smile, and then you feel that there's sort of like initiative to really start a conversation with them. Whereas online, you need to go to the chat session, like section of that person, and text them, and they might respond and might not. But in an in-person class, like, you exchange those smiles very quickly and that social communication happens like this. Whereas online, so many people are not really motivated to just like chat with their classmates. For example, with Katie and I, but that was different because, for example, that's why we're saying like different people do things differently. So, for example, with Katie, she was like, she broke this rule that we have just mentioned. So she initiated a conversation with me online and then we met in person. And that's why we became more friends during the in-person classes. But not everyone does that.
It is a risk. It is a risk because you don't know if someone's just going to completely ignore you.
Yeah.
And you weren't the only person, you know, I think because I was in my second year, I felt more confident to reach out to people and try and befriend people at the beginning of this year. But, and so I messaged quite a few people, I don't know, five or six people. And not everybody did reply. You know, some people didn't reply. And then the rest of the year, it's like, should I try again? You know, like it's so awkward. And then you get put in a breakout room with them and then, you know, you have to talk to them. So that is awkward. Obviously, most of the people, thankfully, did reply to me. But I can see that it is a scary thing to do, to just completely message someone you don't know anything about. And I know I spoke to one student who was at home in her home country for the whole of term one. She arrived at Christmas and then obviously everything was online in term two. And so we had an in-person workshop in term three and I met her there. And she said this was the first time she'd really been able to meet people from our course. And so, I mean, can you imagine being on, you know, being on a course all the way from September to, I mean, when was that, May? And not actually meeting a single person from your course, not necessarily even really having a conversation unless a tutor's actually put you into a breakout room. Now, because I'm quite a confident person, really, and because, you know, I'm a teacher, so at least I'm trained to be confident, even if I don't feel confident. You know, for me, it was worth taking the risk because I knew I didn't want to spend a year without any friends. But if you're not really that confident yet, and some of our course mates are quite young, you know, 21, 22, there is that risk that you'll just spend the whole year in your mum and dad's house or alone in a student house and not really talk to anyone. Are we all here? I don't know anyone personally, but I've heard lots of stories about people who are in their student accommodation and they barely even go into the kitchen. You know, they don't interact with anyone. And, you know, that's hard. That's a hard way to spend the year. Even if you're not a sociable person, that's not good for you. And it's not really likely to produce great university memories either. And surely it can't help with learning either. So, yeah, that's really hard. And I'm grateful not to have been in that position. But if you're not a confident person, then what else is your option? You know, what you have to just hope that someone else will get in touch with you, and it might not happen.
I agree with you, especially when you mentioned like some people, even in their like accommodation, they prefer not to go to the kitchen and not contact other people.
But what do you think, like socially, the way that it actually happened for us, how did you feel socially this year? Did you feel like you had enough social contact with people?
To be honest, I don't think I got any real aspect, like real social aspects from the online experience. I haven't made any friends from the online community, just the online Katie, just the online thing during the seminars. So with Katie's case, it was very different. So Katie immediately initiated meeting, like she said, like, can we become friends? And then we became friends. I tried with Nicholas, like a friend of us. I tried with a friend of us and I messaged him and said, like, we can meet and stuff. So we met, but no one, like, other than Katie, for example, contacted me or something like that. But the thing is that it started with these two friends and continued this way. But I believe that the more people, like the people I met the most from my classmates, that happened in seminars. So I got to know them more personally in seminars. And after the seminars, I started to have in-person contact with them and online contact with them as well. But without those seminars, it was just only two friends that it happened to become a friend with. But I think what the department did in order to make the experience a little bit better from the social aspect is that when we were allowed to meet out with a bigger group of people, they started to do a kind of social event like picnics with a specific number of people, as well as like workshops. So I believe in those sessions, they gave us a chance to meet in person. And I believe that my kind of like communication and social relationship with those people became stronger in those in-person classes. And it can't be compared at all to the online communication at all.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's much harder to befriend people online. I've had a few people sort of message me online, which I think has only really worked on things like Instagram, where you're posting anyway, and then they can at least sort of react to it or ask questions about it. No one's just going to email you and be like, what did you think of the seminar today? You know, that's that's not really something that's likely to happen. Even if that would be something that would happen in person, that someone might ask you that question. Online, it does seem like a weird sort of like step to make, to say like, can we talk about the seminar? You know, it seems strange. Whereas if you find people in social media, it's a bit better. The difficulty is that a lot of our classmates are from China and they don't use the same social media as us.
Yes.
And even if they have it, they don't necessarily use it as much, or they don't really like it. Yeah, that is one way, I guess, to get to know people a bit better.
Yeah. And I noticed that, like, commenting on what Katie mentioned. So, for example, we have a group on WhatsApp, but every time we type the link of, let's say, a survey that we're doing for feedback for the SSLC, we don't really get answers from people clicking on the link from the WhatsApp group, unless we seek help from the department to send it to them via Teams, or we have another like Teams group to send the link. Yeah. But we notice that, for example, they respond to the WeChat links because they use WeChat more. In Syria, like personally in Syria, I don't use WeChat. I don't know much of people who use WeChat. So it's very difficult to to tell the least, to really get to know more about those people. In-person classes make it a little bit easier.
I think it's so interesting, sort of the social aspect of it all. I think that's something that we don't really think about as much in relation to online learning. It's obviously a thing within the pandemic. We're all very isolated. Yeah, no, I think even if you're not friends with people in your class, if you're in person, that there's at least a sense of community that you just don't really feel when you're online with people. And your observations about that have just been very insightful.
Because I'm doing my dissertation on online learning, I've been reading a lot about distance education from the past that are totally not pandemic related. And, you know, it's very interesting because we talk about isolation now when we're all in our houses and, you know, you don't get to see people as much. But actually, it's always been a problem. It's always been a problem with distance education. Even if you're going to work all day and you're surrounded with people and you're seeing your family in a totally normal way, there's always been an issue with making classes feel connected to each other and that sense of isolate. You know, there's loads of literature about isolation in distance learning. And if you get even like very practical books, I got a practical teaching book for online teaching just out of interest to see what they suggested. And the whole first chapter was about eliminating isolation in distance learning because it's such a big issue, and it's been a big issue from day one. You know, it's not just because we're at home all the time. Even when you have those normal relationships, that's still there. So I thought that was really interesting because I thought maybe that was something quite specific to the pandemic. But actually, funnily enough, I did a year of homeschool online when I was 11. When I was 11, I was homeschooled for a year. And when I think back to that, I think, oh yeah, I had hardly any friends. You know, like the friends that I had were basically from before I did it. I didn't know any of my classmates when I was homeschooled. I mean, things have come a long way, I'll tell you that. I used to just get an email from my teacher saying, do these exercises, and then I would email back those exercises. I mean, we're talking about 2002 now, so this is this is very much a long time ago, and we're going off track here a lot. But it's quite humbling, I suppose, that this year we've all kind of felt like we've become experts in online learning. And then you go back and do a bit of reading and you realize, like, I don't know anything. There's people who've been working on this and who've been reading about this and researching this for years and years and years. And we all sort of feel like suddenly we know everything about it. But there's so much more to learn. And the literature is huge. There's so much there. It's quite daunting, actually.
To just comment on what Katie said, like, since the literature is very huge on isolation and the online experience, then we can expect how much worse it became with self-isolation and staying like in houses because of the pandemic. So you have you already have that existent pressure from the pandemic and being isolated at home and stressed. And then you add to it that you are having everything online. So you feel kind of like more suffocated. The isolation is tripled. And this doesn't necessarily, I believe, affect the whole journey of learning. And I don't know whether this serves or doesn't serve the purpose of the ultimate goal, which is having the best out of an experience of a master's or online education. So.
Thank you so much, Wella and Katie, for coming to talk today. It's been so insightful and interesting. Yeah, and it's been really good to have you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I hope that you can use some of the stuff that we've said.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be a bit too much to use.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Listen at Warwick. If you're interested in hearing more surrounding the discussion of blended learning in Warwick University, then check out our other episodes. We cover a lot of different topics, including technology and mental health, and they're all worth a listen. Thank you once again, and we hope to see you next time.